Hello and welcome to the Earth Trust podcast. My name is Verity Warne, Head of Communications at Earth Trust. At Earth Trust, we work with communities, school children, young people and adults to access and connect with the natural world, enabling people to support practices that are good for climate, nature and human health. Today, I'm speaking with Stuart Ritchie about our education programme and how we're trying to inspire the next and now generation with the power of natural green spaces.
Yeah, okay. So my name is Stuart Ritchie. I'm the Environmental Education Manager at Earth Trust. My job is to manage our environmental education programme. So we talk about Earth School. So Earth School is really curriculum-linked learning on a various topics, from biodiversity and ecosystems through to human history, elements of geography. We mainly work with large groups of mainstream schools.
Yeah.
They tend to be primary schools, but yeah. We did a little bit with secondary, but that's definitely an area that we will grow. The second area is we have groups that come to us regularly on a weekly basis. So at the moment we're working with 5 schools, and those groups of kids visit us on the same day for the same time every week. They're doing various things when they come here, but that's a very different type of education.
Yeah.
And that you're building up a relationship with those kids, and you get to see the benefits stacking up over time versus a one-off visit. So there's also Earth Explorers. So at the moment that's limited to our Forest Acorns, which is our forest school type sessions. Yay! For preschool children. And I suppose the way that we, Earth Trust, is unique in delivering that type of session is in our land.
Yeah.
In that we are a working farm. We're not a normal, in quotations, nature reserve type setup. It's more a working landscape, and it's great to do that kind of teaching in this setting. So for example, we might look at all the different foods that are being grown on the Earth Farm, and that can be a whole session. So looking at them, their different uses, maybe we do some cooking, I talk about how they were grown, we might propagate some, sow seeds, grow them on. So there's that whole element of nurturing, growing things. So that is different. That is not something that would normally happen in a traditional forest school session.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the Earth Trust stamp that we can put on that type of preschool learning, outdoor learning.
And in terms of what we are educating people about or for, how much of what we're doing is about the topic that they're learning about versus the soft skills that they experience and develop for themselves in a different learning setting?
Yeah, good question. So again, that comes back to our two different strands. So Earth School and Earth Skills. So the regular visitors, so we have a program called Countryside Skills. We have two groups that do Countryside Skills that come. So it's an accredited course, GCSE equivalent course. Mm-hmm. So we have one school, an example, we have one school that comes with 8 to 12 kids every week, teenagers. They're working their way through the course, learning those harder hands-on skills, what we would traditionally call green skills, mm-hmm. things like tree planting, woodworking. But really the things that you see in the young people changing over time is the development of those soft skills.
Mm.
That they are better out of the school environment that they're not particularly well suited to. They are developing their communication, their confidence, their sense of place, a sense of pride about the things that they're accomplishing whilst they're here, and having that freedom, that outside space to maybe get along better and do team building, team working tasks that they might not do well with in an enclosed school environment.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to Earth School, so where we're doing our curriculum linked learning, really I think our objective going forward is to take what they have learned in the classroom, So we offer lots of history sessions. So we do Stone Age, Iron Age, Roman and Saxon. So we have schools that have that come to us that maybe they've been learning about the Stone Age in the classroom. Or when they come to Earth Trust and we start to get out into the landscape and we're doing hands-on fun activities, we're handling authentic artifacts, then we can start to put it into context and it becomes a bit more real for the children. And we get feedback from teachers when they go back to school. They're then feeding all that back in. They are visualizing their visit when they continue their learning.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we sometimes, you know, I've heard it referred to as like useful for learners in a who maybe don't do so well in a traditional setting, but then actually there's nothing more traditional than a landscape,
exactly.
Right? It's a weird way of thinking about it.
Yeah,
like the original setting.
It is the original.
Yeah.
And we all have an instinct.
Mm.
I mean, your instincts kick in when you're outside, your natural instincts that are in all of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, in a sense, it is unnatural to sit in a classroom and be told facts.
Yeah, so it's experiential learning.
Yeah.
You say.
Yeah.
And do you see, what difference do you see? Well, you've talked a little bit about the difference that you see for some of those regular groups in confidence and skills building. Is there an immediate difference that you or impact that you notice for each session or for the curriculum linked learning? How does that help? What change do you see from the beginning to the end of a session?
I suppose so. We deal with small groups. So for us, for the Earth School, so let's say a curriculum linked session on invertebrates and insects. When the kids arrive, they might be a bit apprehensive. They might not know what they're going to be doing. But as soon as you get them sat down, you tell them all the fun and exciting things that we're going to be doing, the things they might see, the enthusiasm starts to build. And then once you get out into a meadow or into a woodland and you start looking at things and they start to get hands-on and searching, that's when the enthusiasm just goes through the roof. And then they're starting to tell you about all the things that they know.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be correct. And then the enthusiasm spreads through the group.
Yeah.
So there's a definite change from the start of a session when they get off the coach to when they leave. And yeah, we hear back from teachers that carries on long after they have left. And I think, well, for me, I can remember all the school trips that I went on.
Yeah, they're definitely moments.
So these
bright moments in your memory, aren't they?
Yeah, they stick in your mind for decades.
Yeah, and do you think that? So some we've heard, people talk about children not being as connected with nature now, or maybe not knowing kind of how to play in nature, maybe being more risk adverse. Is that? Do you see that? Is that true? Do you think, what are the problems that we're sort of addressing with our work?
I think it varies by group and demographic and all that kind of stuff. One thing that is definitely really obvious is the amount that children spend playing video games.
Mm.
Often that's the main topic of conversation. So when we're walking around, let's say we're going between different areas from the meadow into the woodland, and there's a 10-minute walk. Quite often, that's the topic of conversation. That's what you overhear. They're talking about Minecraft and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Some groups of children that come in are, I would say, very connected to nature.
Yeah.
They've done it throughout their childhood. They know how to play outside. They are very interested in playing outside and learning outside. And they can rattle off things about bees and butterflies and trees. And then there are other groups, maybe from more urban areas, more urban schools, that don't have a lot of green space in their local vicinity, in their school grounds.
Yeah. What are we trying to actively create change of mindset, or are we just trying to inspire sort of children that sort of as they grow up, they remember those moments?
I think when it comes to our school program, it's all about being in the real world and connecting everything that they have learned in the classroom.
Yeah.
So in a traditional classroom, you do your maths lesson, then you do your English lesson, and then you do your science lesson. these things are all completely interconnected with each other in the real world. Mm. So when we come out onto the land, bringing all of those different elements into the session and making them, putting them into context. Mm. So it is about creating memories that they will remember, but it's also about connecting those things in their brains. Mm. So if, let's say, someone struggles with maths or with English, when they're sitting in the classroom and they can refer back to a memory that they enjoyed outside and bring those skills in, then that makes it much more easier, and it makes it more real.
Definitely. I think it's really interesting you talking about that as well, because obviously we talk a lot about, you know, our purpose being how natural green spaces help people address, you know, climate, biodiversity and health.
Yeah,
you're not sort of using the learning program to say this is nature, this is how you then must use nature to help support better biodiversity. It's just creating that experience that's memorable, that's special, and then that itself has its own outcome for that individual child.
Yeah, it has an outcome. I think the main point is that no one will care about something that they do not understand or that they do not know anything about. So by coming onto the land, into a natural environment or a farmed environment and learning about it, then you start to care about it.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of people's experience of nature comes from the TV, and we're blessed with all of our amazing documentaries that the BBC produces, but it's still distant.
Yeah.
You've really got to get out and get down. I mean, and even a lot of people that think it's different for children, because children aren't scared to get dirty.
Yeah, to get their hands into it.
To look closely. Whereas us as adults, we tend to be a lot more reserved, and we'll go a walk in nature, or we'll do an activity in nature, but that's different from getting down in the grass.
Yeah.
Where we might get bitten, or something might crawl on us.
Yeah.
But that's where you see the real body, the real essence of nature, is when you get down in it.
Yeah, there's no polar bears.
Yeah.
But there is a worm, an earthworm. Yeah. Can you describe a typical day in the life of Stuart Ritchie in your education program?
Every day is very unique. So every day we have a school group in one form or another. So that will either be a large Earth school group, or it will be one of our smaller regular groups. It might be an SEN group, so a group with special educational needs. In the morning, it's really about getting prepped, getting ready for that first session. We may have 90 children arriving, we may have 3.
Yeah.
So it's very different level of preparation. The numbers aren't actually the most important thing to get prepped for. Sometimes a group of 3 can be more challenging than a group of 90.
Yeah.
When the school arrives, we greet them. We want to have that sense that when they arrive, that we are there anticipating them, that we are waiting for them, and that we're excited to see them. We tend to bring them in, welcome them, give them a bit of a safety briefing so that everyone knows the rules of the land, as it were. And then we get out and start doing our learning activities. We tend to have lunchtime around 12. Then we'll do some afternoon activities, finish around 2, send all the kids home.
Have a cup of tea
very quickly, very quick lunch breaks. And then it's on to admin duties or getting set up for the next day. Mm. Quite often we'll finish with a big group and then come back, sit down, and there's 40 emails waiting.
Yeah, you can't get away from emails.
Yeah.
And what's your favourite? Have you got a kind of favourite activity or a favourite sort of conversation that you like to have with the kids? What's your kind of the thing you're like, oh, great, we've got this thing coming up today?
I think in every case, it's just getting their take on it. I like to hit them with a bombshell, something that they've never heard before.
Blows their mind.
Blows their mind, get lots of stunned faces, and then they...
What's one of your bombshell facts that gets the most reaction?
So on a Stone Age day, we talk about the different diversity of humans that would have shared the planet together. So the most recent estimates are there would have been probably 7 species of humans on Earth at the same time.
Wow, I did not know that.
I tested Stuart's fact out with my own kids with some quite satisfying results.
Seven. I knew there was multiple, but 7
at the same time.
Where did they all go?
Okay.
That is a good bombshell.
So it wasn't just us. It's only been us for the last 20, maybe 30,000 years. Before that, there were other types of humans. So we coexisted for a few thousand years, and that opens up lots of big questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not just difference between race or culture, it's a different species of human.
Yeah,
it's always great to, towards the end of a session, if all the kids are getting really friendly and they're really excited and they've had a great time. And there's lots of days like that.
Yeah.
If the sun's shining and we're up the top of Round Hill, it's just great.
You've got a pretty good job, haven't you?
It's a good job.
What direction do you think we're going in with our education program?
Yeah, so with our school, we want to refine it and make it more more STEM elements in there. So more
STEM.
So science, technology, engineering, and maths. Really link it with those curriculum objectives and the different curriculum topics. And I was saying there about making connections. So it might be a day on invertebrates, but having elements of maths in there, bringing in some technology by using different equipment like microscopes, bringing in a bit of storytelling, a bit of art. So really emphasizing the importance of those connections in a real world setting.
Yeah. And then is there anything else in terms of where we're delivering or how we deliver the work that might change?
Yep. So we've got our fantastic Earth Lab building, which hasn't been, because of the pandemic, primarily, hasn't been utilized because it's an indoor space. So really maximizing the utilization of Earth Lab and our outdoor physical assets.
Yeah.
And I think they're a great blend.
Yeah.
We also hope to, or we will be developing a new growing area. So for fruit and vegetables. So to make that link with the Earth Farm on a much smaller scale.
That's exciting.
That all of our regular groups and perhaps some of the Earth School groups can also have a hand in. So from propagation of fruit and vegetables, nurturing the plants through to harvesting and cooking. So that's a whole other strand of skill.
Yeah.
Life skills.
Yeah.
That can come out of our weekly engagement.
We hear about eco-anxiety being something that, you know, young people are experiencing. Is that something that you come across or see the impacts of? Do you see the nature of questions or conversations that you're having with children, are they any different now from, say, when you first started?
Yeah, there's definite questions. I wouldn't say, so we mainly work with primary schools. I wouldn't say there's a huge level of anxiety there.
Yeah.
In comparison to, at the moment, I've noticed recently quite a lot of kids asking about elements of war and stuff like that coming into their drawings, and so there you can see they're really thinking about it, and it's concerning them. But I haven't seen that level of anxiety with the primary kids in terms of climate change. I think that comes to maybe a lack of detailed understanding, and it needs to be taught more widely, but in a sensitive manner.
Definitely. And how people can, I guess, that the eco-anxiety tends to stem from people knowing there's a massive problem, but feeling helpless in the face of that problem to do anything about it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess if you're creating a sense of agency, that then helps to alleviate some of that pressure.
But also being positive about it, about being positive about the potential solutions.
Exactly. Do you think children are more environmentally aware about, you know, about just generally about why we should look after the environment?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a big difference between younger children now, so years 1, 2, 3, They've got a lot more knowledge about the natural world than their counterparts that are now 5 years on.
Yeah.
So it's definitely coming into to primary education and those connections that they're starting to build.
Yeah.
I'm Verity Warne, and you've been listening to the Earth Trust podcast. Thanks to our education manager, Stuart Ritchie, for talking with us today.